Hey, I'm Scott Hanselman, and we're here on Azure Friday. We're talking about Redis with Sharad Pant, and we're going to talk about failover and monitoring.
Yes.
A little more advanced topics with Redis.
Yes, absolutely. So we talked about how we, with Azure as a Redis as a service, we host Redis for you. But let's talk a bit more about what that gives you, that Microsoft hosting Redis. There's always, you mentioned earlier, we take care of patching, maintaining the OS for you. You don't need to worry about the hosting piece. But that's not all. What we also do for you is we collect diagnostic logs from your Azure instance, Redis instance, and then provide it to you in the portal. So here's an example of a Redis cache I have running.
Okay.
I've been putting some load on it, so you see, and this again, you don't need to do anything for it.
You have four cache instances, it looks like, at the top there.
So these are all, I think I have four caches within my resource group, and we are looking at one of those in this.
Okay.
For one of these instances, I've been hitting a lot of load.
Yeah.
As you'd expect for most well-run caches, there's a lot of hits, a few misses. You can track the gets and sets. You can track your CPU and memory usage. I've been writing to it, so you can see it's just going up.
Right.
Now, all of this comes for free. You don't need to collect it. If you're self-hosting, you need to maintain this all on your own.
Okay, so if I could make a virtual machine of my own, install Redis on it, either Linux or Windows, and I could talk to it and do everything that we're doing so far, except how would I see any of these things if I didn't use the Redis cache in Azure? How would I figure those numbers out?
You would have to build something custom. You would have to collect your logs, you'd have to build, people build a custom portal, but it's up to you. Yes.
I'd have to talk to Redis using their APIs and query all of these things and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, so Redis has an info command that gives you stats on its life, but from an archival perspective, you need to keep pinging it we do it every 30 seconds.
Mm.
You need to keep pinging it, saving it, and then building an archival database on which you can query.
Okay, so Redis isn't giving us any of this for free.
Okay. Redis gives the info, but you need to archive it and query it on your own.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So you get that. And not only that, now naturally there's all the goodness with, so I clicked on a graph here.
Mm-hmm.
You can modify it. So if I click on edit query, I can choose the granularity of, I guess, the time that I want to see it on. I can set custom. I can also choose the key that I want to display here. Evicted keys being a classic example, a lot of folks figure out if their cache is running too hot when they start seeing evictions.
Mm.
So that's one thing you would potentially want to set an alert on.
So you could say, go ahead and click evicted keys and used memory, and then that's going to build a new chart for us, right?
It will modify this chart to then map on those parameters.
And map in evicted keys on top of what is already showing hits and misses, and then add that metric at the bottom. So you're basically getting You're getting the ability to build these queries from that, so you have no evicted keys.
Yes.
You can build these queries dynamically, and then if you wanted to, you could pin that and make it a live tile.
Absolutely, absolutely. And what you can also do is then you can set alerts on it. So, for example, I have an alert here where I've said that if I have more than 1,000 hits, and you can notice that that's fired because I naturally have more than 1,000 hits.
Mm-hmm.
So this will send you an email notifying you when an event happens in your cache. So, and then you can always choose your that email to fire off an SMS to your phone. I have also set up something for evictions here, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And here again,
next question.
Yeah, the classic example being if your cache is running too hard, you see more than 100 evictions, you want to be notified because I think it's time to upgrade to a larger cache. It's just running too hot.
Mm-hmm.
So all this collected for you for free, the alerting infrastructure built in for free. You just provision a cache and you get all this.
Okay, so you said that we have, in the standard pricing, you have two.
Yes.
So let's say something's going wrong, one of them goes down, who knows why. What happens? How do you have that failover experience?
Let's see it. Let's actually see it in action. I'll be taking you into the guts of Redis, and this is just to give folks a little idea into the architecture of what we have.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a cache. This is what a cache provision looks like internally to us as service owners within Redis cache.
Mm-hmm.
I have a cache here provision called replication demo.
How are you seeing this?
Yeah, so I'm just seeing it because I have provisioned it on an internal account just for this demo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so users will not have this.
So this is a cloud services of some kind.
Yes.
And a cloud service is a virtual machine because Redis has to run on a machine.
Yes.
So you said one cache.
And you got two machines.
Two machines.
Yes. And this is, again, running on a Microsoft subscription. So customers would not be seeing it.
This is cool that we're seeing the internals.
Yeah, absolutely. I know your viewers love this, so we'll go geek out a bit on the internals of this. So two caches. Provisioned here. Now we can connect to these because they are eventually just Redis caches. Now you'll notice that if I just connected to the cache name, in this case it's replication demo,
right?
I would have connected to a shim, which always makes sure that you're talking to the master.
Mm.
And that's how folks connect to, when you connect to an endpoint, we guarantee that it always forwards to the master. So if the master goes down, we upgrade the slave, but your endpoint you talk to remains the same.
So this is a kind of load balancing.
Yes. Yes. So that's what you talk to. In what I'm doing here, though, just for this demo again, don't do it at home, is I'm talking to a particular port, and I'll be connecting to each of those individual machines. So if you see, if I connect to 13001, I've connected there. I'll do info replication, a Redis command.
Right.
You'll notice that 13001 port is the master.
Gotcha.
And if I...
one connected slave.
Exactly. And if I connect to 13000 and do info replication, that's the slave.
Got it.
So among those two machines, 13000 was slave, 13001 was master.
Right.
So now what that means here is, this is 13001, underscore one here. This is the master.
Right.
Let's reboot it.
So you're bringing it down.
Exactly. So we'll see how Redis reacts to it.
I see. Again, not something you'd ordinarily do, but you're basically simulating a problem.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we'll reboot it.
Okay.
Yeah. It started to reboot. The reason you don't see me scampering is because when I do reboot, it takes a while for it to actually reboot. Redis does some goodness around it, make sure that it takes it down clean.
In this case, it's a planned reboot as opposed to something really bad happening.
Exactly. So we'll connect to the master again.
Okay.
We are connected. There's a time command in Redis. And all I'm doing is to give a feel of, we are pinging the master. It's still up.
And time is going forward.
Exactly. And this, the master is still up. At some point, and this can take, I've seen it take up to 10 seconds to a minute.
Okay.
You'll see this, our calls to the master start there. It failed.
Whoa, the wrong disk is in the drive.
But I'll just connect back to the shim now, this time.
Okay.
And again, start issuing the time command.
Okay.
And you'll notice that we can connect to it. There, let me try again. There. I've connected back, and I'm doing the time command. And we've already propagated the master went down.
Oh,
the slave took over, and you are online again.
So that little trouble you had connecting, that was that hiccup that you said that might happen when you have a switchover.
Exactly. And in this case, I know this is not scientific. We see between 32 and 49. So this was around 17 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this as low as 4 seconds when we do it in an automated fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no guarantee around it, but we try to detect it immediately, upgrade the slave, and there. You see a blip. You can't write during the blip.
So can you info and see how can we tell that's the...
Yeah,
really the...
absolutely. So if you remember, 13,000 was the slave.
Right.
Now when we do info replication, it should be the master. Let me... Now we have too many times there.
Okay, so you put in info replication.
And I didn't spell it right.
No worries. Yep, role master, connected slave, zero, because
exactly.
the other one is down.
It's still booting. At some point, you'll see that come up, and then you'll have a slave connected, which will sync back. And you're back to normal.
Okay, and then they've switched their roles, and that's okay that they've switched their roles.
They'll keep switching as things go wrong, but as far as you're concerned, your endpoint continues to work, you can talk to it. Again, this is, if you need to custom build this, and folks who do it on AWS today as well, where Redis is not a service, you need to custom build this. We offer it as a service and handle all this complexity
for
you. It's
just automatic. This is literally the difference between basic and standard.
Absolutely.
Very cool. We're learning all about failover and advanced Redis techniques here on Azure Friday. Thank you.